let our trained professionals help you come down from the high of the game here on the Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
Tsitsikas against the wall, and Filppula will lose it, and the Leafs are going to get control of it again. 18 seconds in the penalty. Pass for Muzzin didn't work. And now Ennis has had his pocket picked. Here's Tsitsikas to the net. Scores!
Yes, that is the kind of night it has been tonight. The Toronto Maple Leafs, New York Islanders, Gord Stellick, Mark Savard, welcoming you to Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Of course, Sportsnet 590, The Fan, the only radio station with the Leafs Nation postgame show for all 82 games in the regular season, all the playoff games. Win, lose, you can't really draw anymore, so say overtime or shootout loss. And three consecutive wins after three consecutive losses, the Leafs are back on track. And tonight, Savvy, in one of those much anticipated, maybe arguably over anticipated games, John Tavares returning to Long Island. We can talk about all the other things around the game, but the game is a clunker, much like last night's game was a clunker in the Leafs' favor, not a clunker tonight in the Leafs' favor.
Yeah, 6-1 loss looks like it's headed to be, and
final seconds. Yep,
5-0 loss also at home to the Islanders. Right? Am I correct? So 11-1 overall in total, but a real tough game, I guess, to be part of. The Tavares situation with all the booing, and you know what? Islanders fans had their day. Everything's good now. They feel better about themselves. So at least someone feels good about tonight's victory.
Well, it's interesting. Leafs, by the way, did score the first goal and then six unanswered goals. That's never a good phrase, six unanswered goals. Coming back, and you're right, the New York, everybody loves somebody to hate, okay? Hate's maybe too strong a word, but for a show of disdain for. You always like to have someone to blame. And John Tavares became that convenient guy for New York Islander fans with what happened over the last number of years. He was the best thing there in what was a very mediocre product. So they come up with a 6-1 win. And again, I'm not being a homer here, even though it is Leafs Nation, so it's no problem being a homer. But on the day that Bryce Harper signs a big ticket with the Philadelphia Phillies, and it's been accepted in baseball, and we've seen with the Toronto Raptors the loss of Chris Bosch and the loss of Tracy McGrady and other free agents on the Toronto Blue Jays side, you know, it's funny. There still is this, whatever you want to call it, good old Canadian homeboy, supposed to be loyal, supposed to be whatever, that the first guy in the modern era, unrestricted free agency, that flexes his muscle, really since 2005 to this extent. I mean, Zdeno Chara, a few guys did it back in 2005-06, but they needed to for cap reasons. Teams had to get down to the cap. The cap had been cut. Is John Tavares. And it's just funny, it's not accepted in the NHL yet like it's accepted in any other sport.
Yeah, it's a situation that exactly you're saying. It hasn't happened in the National Hockey League for years, and he's being dumped on for really an unfair reason. I mean, this is a chance where he gets to go out. He's paid his services to the Islanders. He's done everything he can to help them win. And at the end of the day, Gord, I said it to you while we were watching the show, maybe if they had showed up the way they showed up tonight to cheer against him and cheer for him, he might have stuck around. And the building situation, I mean, there wasn't a lot of good situations going on in Long Island right now, let's be honest, for him to want to stick around.
Well, two situations that have changed since John Tavares left. One is Lou Lamoriello, which is huge. And Lou, it's ironic. I think it truly is ironic. It's one of the most misused words in the language, that part of why he left the Islanders was they did not have a Lou Lamoriello on top in charge. And part of why he came to the Maple Leafs was a Lou Lamoriello had righted the ship so much here in Toronto. So now he's with the Islanders. And the other part is Lou has quickly got them playing way more games at Nassau County Coliseum, because the Brooklyn experience is a disaster.
Well,
players, fans, you name it.
Yeah, the atmosphere at the Nassau County Coliseum is way, way better. It's like night and day, right, from going to Brooklyn. And they're able to sell the Nassau County Coliseum out, but when they go to Brooklyn, there's 12,000 people showing up, so they say. Yeah, and I don't understand. I still don't understand how they don't figure it out that this is the place they're going to play all their playoff series. We talked about this. To me, it just seems ludicrous that they're going to play their first series here at the Nassau, and if they win, they're going to move.
They still haven't. See, that's contractual thing still. That's the problem, but it is weird. So imagine the New York Islanders, who have won one playoff series since 1993, one playoff series in John Tavares' entire time there, and if they win again, which obviously the crowd would just be killing it at Nassau County Coliseum, now you got to say, we're going to that bleep hole in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
For the next round. But that's what they are. And that's part of the problem. And the other part, Savvy, is, and we're going through this with the Toronto Maple Leafs now, and we'll talk more about it later on, because people get annoyed sometimes. But why can't you just enjoy the season? Why do you have to talk about contracts? Well, contracts are a big part of it. You know, if you're going to, you know, Kyle Dubas, a big part of why he came on board with the Toronto Maple Leafs was the whole analytics that has infiltrated the game. And I'm not saying that in a demeaning way. It's an important part. Everything has been to the minutia is being analyzed left, right, center in the hopes of getting the slightest of edges on the ice. So when you're analyzing the salary cap situation, that deserves analyzing, and where there's been good moves or not so good moves or whatever. And that is going to be a problem with the Toronto Maple Leafs. Meanwhile, John Tavares took one of the most player-friendly second contracts ever, $5.5 million per year with the New York Islanders. That was the second contract for 5 years. Like, unbelievable. It's up there with Duncan Keith, at least took term, had long term, but it was one of the most club-friendly second contracts he took. And I'm not out here shilling for John Tavares. Don't get me wrong. That's a lot of money, $5.5 million. But I'm just mean, you know, he didn't go for the big enchilada, which William Nylander did, which Austin Matthews has done more so in the shorter term than the bigger term, all these things. And I'm just saying like that, and that's what he did as far as his service with the New York Islanders. And, you know, that's what he gets tonight. And, you know, I think at the end of the day, his honesty last year, Savvy, and it's a lesson to everybody following through, and you see the guys in Columbus, Bobrovsky and Panarin now following suit saying, yeah, we better get it out there that we're looking to move. Because John Tavares was very genuine last year. Like, he really wanted to find a way to stay, and at the end it came back and bit him in the ass.
It really did. And at the end of the day, like you're saying, Panarin and Bobrovsky stepped up early and said, listen, I don't think we're going to stick around. You know, this is probably not the place we want to be long term. And he's left that up to the management to move him, and they decide to keep him. So at the end of the day, when he walks,
they've declared their intentions.
They've declared their intentions, exactly.
Or the possibilities, so, anyway.
Call DeJean Tavares what you will, but he almost got hurt for being real honest.
Yeah.
And he probably had the Leafs in the back of his mind, a hometown kid. I don't blame him. I always wanted to be a Toronto Maple Leaf. It's just something that is human nature. And at the end of the day, with the situation in Long Island at the end of the year, did they make the playoffs last year? They did not make the playoffs. And then the building situation, it was real disarray there. And Garth Snow, you know, ownership, it was messy. And I don't blame him one bit for wanting to change teams.
You know, I'd forgotten about it. You were playing back then, but you're kind of aware. It's funny. When you're playing, you're aware, but it's a different kind of aware because you're kind of not aware because you're so insulated with the one team you're playing with. But I had half forgotten, and I think it was a Hockey Night in Canada tweet. I'll have to find it. But it played back Matt Sundin's return as a Toronto Maple Leaf. Now, there was nowhere near the vitriol about Sundin, but people were pissed off at him here in Toronto. You can't put like, so Matt Sundin, and I still look back, and I'm a big Cliff Fletcher fan, but I think he kind of hung Sundin out to dry when it got out there that Matt's was not willing to waive his no-trade clause. Leafs were not going to make the playoffs. So like Tavares last year, there was a chance to get assets back in return for Sundin. And then the Muskoka Five got like, they called them Muskoka Five, like the five guys with no-trade clauses, whomever they were. I can't remember them all, but whatever. Muskoka Five. Meanwhile, the one guy that earned it was Sundin. And part of what Sundin said was, he's big buddies with Peter Forsberg. Peter Forsberg, where do you think of Peter Forsberg playing all his NHL career?
Where do I think?
Yeah, what team?
Colorado.
Yeah, obviously. A few other stops along the way, but Colorado. And the thing is, Peter Forsberg was in Philadelphia and was a trade deadline deal to Nashville, which nobody remembers. And he said to Matt Sundin, he goes, you know what? That was the worst thing. Because you just get plunked in there. There's all these expectations. It's just whatever. And Matt Sundin took that to heart. And he kind of said, I want to ride out the rest of the year with the Toronto Maple Leafs. What's the problem?
Yeah.
I've been the best player for X number of years. And he got bleeped on. So he comes back as a Vancouver Canuck, and it showed it. And he was getting booed. Now, at least the Leaf fans, unlike tonight on the island, when he got the video tribute, he got a standing ovation. And that was nice. And then the play resumed, and he got booed when he touched the puck. But I mean, you kind of forget. It wasn't to the same angle. Matt's was at the end of his career.
And I remember it, and correct me if I'm wrong, his quotes were, I don't want to go to play for a team halfway through a year and win a Stanley Cup.
Absolutely.
I want to build it from the beginning of the season if I'm ever going to win a cup.
If I'm going to go somewhere else, I want to start with training camp and all this thing.
Yeah.
And you know, John Tavares is in his prime of his career. Matt's wasn't at that point. But it's just... Like I'm finding, and again, I'm not out here like being, well, I don't care if I'm pro-Leaf, who cares? It's Leafs Nation. But I mean, about that, it's just interesting. I just think this guy has been, and it's not for me to decide. Fans pay their tickets, they can do whatever they want. And it'll diminish over the years. I mean, when you saw Vince Carter now being embraced by Toronto Raptor fans, okay? You know, you see how it diminishes over the years. But man, oh man, and then you see the commercials about him watching the 93 series with his dad and Doug Gilmore sticking the puck in your goal. And last year, you don't like to get into family stuff because nobody does so much anymore, but there was a talk that he was getting married to somebody from this area and she had found a job or whatever. So I remember someone saying that, and it sounded like that was accurate, right?
Yeah.
So all these things come into play in making a decision beyond money.
Yeah, and that's exactly what I thought when I first heard it is that, There maybe is a chance that John Tavares comes home because his wife just got a job in Toronto, and then it grew from there. But at the end of the day, Gord, he's overpaid his dues in Long Island. Let's be honest.
Absolutely.
If you ask me or you, and that was a bit of BS tonight, but you know what? Fans pay their money at the end of the day, and they're entitled to their own opinion and their own call, and tonight they chose to boo him. But like you said, over time, this will die down.
Yeah.
And especially when he plays in Brooklyn, when there's only 1,200 people there, this will become second nature to him.
Well, Jim Ralph pulled out a stat last night. We're sitting there in the press room before. You know, you were like eating like everything. I was kind of quiet, just having a little salad. And he mentioned New York Islanders. Look at this, 31st in attendance. Now, it's slanted because it's Brooklyn, right? And now they're going to play most of their games in Nassau County Coliseum. But just kind of saying it tongue-in-cheek that way as far as things go. And, to me, for John Tavares, it's kind of like if you don't pass a course, you got to go to summer school, generally. And so this is kind of like tonight was a one-day summer school for him about get it out of the way. And the guy's got 36 goals. I mean, nobody could be any better of a free agent pickup. Like it's for the Toronto Maple Leafs. I mean, at the end of the day, if you're a Leaf fan, he is here and he's been phenomenal.
Yeah. We were talking early on in the year and I don't even think it's an issue now. And I remember Sam and McKee behind the scenes here. He was pointing out that, you know, Tavares led the league in most points, but he was tied with someone. I forget who it was on changing teams in a year, but he's got to be the front runner now by far, I would say. And you know, they think they had a tough game tonight. Look at these Boston Bruins right now, Gord. They're 3-0 up on the Tampa Bay Lightning and maybe 4 here. Oh, but anyway, it's going to be a tough series. They're in tough. They're going to have to get their crap together here in big games. And tonight was definitely one of those big games. But again, on the back end, they were light tonight a bit. Justin Hall draws in. I'm seeing here he was -2. The Magic Man had nothing up his sleeve tonight. He was -3. That's Martin Marincin. Yeah,
yes.
Martin Marincin. He had
AKA
no
the magic.
Magic.
Man.
But John Tavares escaped even tonight.
Yeah.
Even par. Freddie did too. Mitchell Marner did too. And obviously Ron Hainsey found a way to get out of there even par. So a couple of guys got out of there unscathed. Is it 4-0 now?
Okay. Look, Bruin guy. Okay.
Sorry.
Okay. We're doing Leafs Nation postgame. Okay, Sam McKee, Vic Palladio in here as well. They'll keep us posted about things, you know. So you got to love it, though. I mean, it is Atlantic Division Eastern Conference hockey that won. And, of course, a lot of games we'll talk about the out-of-town score. So the Bruins just win 4-0, or just up 4-0 now late in the third period against the impenetrable Tampa Bay Lightning. And it's good talking about that because that's what we're talking about playoff-wise, about the journey that is expected to be ahead for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough journey, Gord. They're going to have to play one of these teams in the playoffs, and I think they're ready for the Bruins. As much as I love the Boston Bruins, and obviously I played there for a long time and got a cup there, but I still think the Leafs have the advantage in goal. That's where I think they're stronger. And Freddie Anderson, who didn't play tonight, Freddie Anderson, he didn't get in the game tonight. So Garrett Sparks, and you know what? Sparky wasn't bad tonight. You couldn't blame it on him. 37 shots against, he lets in 6 goals, 3-on-1 we saw on one play, a couple of point blank shots. So it wasn't all Sparky's fault tonight.
Leafs Nation postgame brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. I guess in all our John Tavares talk, we have to remind you it's a 6-1 win for the New York Islanders over the Toronto Maple Leafs. Scored Stelic, Mark Savard on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. And to get a context about the game, again, the back-to-back, you know, Leafs played last night. Might have been a tough flight. The weather was iffy, so Islanders were rested tonight. And again, Jake Gardner announced yesterday out with back spasms last night. Travis Dermott, shoulder injury, out for at least 4 weeks. That's a big blow for them. So all of a sudden, you got a couple of new guys like Justin Hall, who's hardly played this year, Martin Marincin in the lineup for the Toronto Maple Leafs, Garrett Sparks. And you're right, he accorded himself well for the Toronto Maple Leafs. But I got to tell you, there's just, you know, and it's a little bit unfair right now because Tampa Bay is losing tonight, but there's a Louis Domingue's been phenomenal as their backup. And he sucked the last couple of years. Like he just, whatever, but whatever, he's found a place that way. And Garrett Sparks, I think because he hasn't played enough games, he does not put that confidence that Curtis McElhinney put in about as a backup goaltender. Like when Garrett Sparks is starting, it is a B game. It is like if the Blue Jays have a split squad tomorrow playing spring training baseball, the B team is Garrett Sparks pitching. That's not a fair thing, but that's just kind of the view right now about how important a backup goaltender is. It would be easier if he was Jonas Enroth and was terrible, because he's not. But it's just that there's Freddie Anderson, and there's just a big drop-off right now, perception-wise.
Huge drop-off. And I watch these games, and he had a lot of offensive help at the beginning of the year when they were winning for him. And now it seems like that well's dried up a bit when he's in the net, and he needs to make some saves. And he's getting peppered too, though. Let's be honest. He's seen a lot of rubber when he's been in there. I'd like to look at his shot average a game against when he gets in there, because it's been a lot. But you know, that happens to backup goalies. It's those nights that those back to backs they get in. So some nights it's just like the team's tired ahead of them. You're going to need a couple more saves than normal. And like you said, Curtis McElhinney last year, I mean, he got peppered too, but he was there each and every day making saves and helping this team win hockey games.
So we're talking about a 6-1 loss, but you know, you look at it, they were up 1-0, got the first goal of the game. It looked like they tied it 2-2. And right away, we're both watching, said, man, it looks like it's offside. And sure enough, the challenge by the New York Islanders was successful. So it was not 2-2 anymore. And, you know, Austin Matthews had that happen against Nashville a number of weeks ago. But beyond that, Freddie Anderson, and last night, like Edmonton, they killed the Edmonton Oilers, but Freddie made some big saves too early on, so you're kind of forgetting about them. That's why it was nice he was named one of the three stars, because, yeah, early on, before you took control and the Oilers looked terrible, he made some big saves when the Islanders actually were controlling the game.
He seems to do that most nights, Gord, to keep his team involved and in it. And I look back to that, not the Oilers game per se, but the Montreal game when he let in those 3 goals. And then the Oilers had, then the Habs had a breakaway in the second and he stops it. Then there's a rebound on the same play. He stops it. And then all of a sudden his team is able to gain some energy and get back in the game. That's happened a lot of times where Freddie's had a tough start to a game and then he's calmed down and he's been able to get through it and make some timely, timely saves. And although Garrett Sparks played a good game tonight, he didn't make those timely saves that an Anderson would.
Well, we are going to hear from Mike Babcock. Our buddy Chris Johnson will join us. We'll play the goals in tonight's game, and we'll hear from John Tavares as well. Tough night for Leaf Nation, a 6-1 loss to the New York Islanders in Long Island. You're listening to Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by the GTA Acura dealers. Gord Stelic, Mark Savard on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Time for a little hockey talkie. This is Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
Here are the Oilers centering in front. They score!
And now we're at the point where it's just easy.
Brock Nelson makes it 6-1.
Yeah, it gets easy there. We saw that last night for the Toronto Maple Leafs against the Edmonton Oilers. It got kind of easy when they had the big lead. And last night, Brock Nelson scoring the final of six New York Islander goals. A 6-1 win for the New York Islanders over the Toronto Maple Leafs. We welcome you back to Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, Gord Stelic, Mark Savard on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. We'll hear from Mike Babcock in a few minutes' time. We'll hear from John Tavares as well. Chris Johnston will join us from the island. We'll hear all the goal calls by Joe Bowen and Jim Ralph. They're not going to be fun calls for Leaf fans tonight, but that's the way it was. And you, Savvy, the Direct Energy Home Services hardest working Leaf player of the game. So some nights it's easier, some nights not as easy, and tonight not as easy. Who gets the Direct Energy Home Services hardest working Leaf player of the game?
Well, I text Babs.
Yeah.
And I wanted, just to know, because I don't know who he would have thought. And all he told me is, tell him Babs sent you. But anyway, he decided that Garrett Sparks deserved it tonight. And Sam McKee was quite adamant in our television room that this ain't Sparky's fault tonight, boys.
The lobbying by Sam the Sham.
He said it could have been 10-1 had Sparks not made four saves. So anyway, we're going to go with Garrett Sparks. I think he made 31 saves tonight on 37 shots, if my math's correct. So our Direct Energy
Home Services
player of the game is number 40. Garrett Sparks.
Well, we better get our man Chris Johnston, because he's Sportsnet.ca, Hockey Night in Canada, and he may have a TV thing. So if you have to cut us off TV-wise, Chris, we certainly understand it. But, man, you were there. It's kind of like, boy, when you, I don't know, when you're at a, it's like at a surprise party getting booed or something. It's just kind of strange. What was it like actually being there, what we didn't see on TV or hear on radio?
Well, I mean, it was awesome, first of all. I mean, easy for me to say, because all that wasn't directed my way. I'm sure it was a very tough night for John Tavares. But the arena was amazing. I mean, I think playoff-like atmosphere is thrown around way too much in regular season. That was playoff-like, just in terms of the hostility. You know, it was sustained right from warm-ups through to the end of the game. And, you know, I give the Islanders fans credit. I mean, there's a couple of things thrown, but you know, all in all, it was mostly kept, I think, in sort of an acceptable range of behavior. And, you know, it was very unwelcome. You know, I haven't seen anything like it myself. I'm sure there's been other instances of players returning where they might have got similar treatment. But, for a regular season game, that was something I won't soon forget. And, you know, I think it raised some concern about the Leafs right now, because that was a big one for them. And they basically no-showed the last two periods.
If I were John Tavares, I said this to Gord earlier in my post-game presser, I would have said, had you guys cheered for me when I was here like this, I might have stuck around. But anyway, it sounded like quite the atmosphere down there, and I know how those games are. I've played in a couple like it, and it's a special atmosphere. But, you know, credit the Islanders. They came out, and they haven't had crowds like this all season, and they played some good hockey with this New York crowd behind them.
Yeah, you know, they were relentless, I thought. You know, they don't certainly have, you know, other than Matthew Barzal, they don't really have the high-end skill that the Leafs have, but there was a lot of will on display there from some of their other guys and pressuring the Leafs into turnovers. There's obviously far too many of those in the game for Toronto, and I'm with you guys. You know, I see Garrett Sparks usually takes some heat in the Twitterverse in games like this. You know, I don't put this on him at all. There was just so many odd man rushes. The first couple goals were odd man rushes. You know, Sadikas got in alone on a shorthanded goal. And then, you know, as the game went on, obviously the Leafs just had no team left. And, you know, I get that it's a back-to-back, and, you know, their third defensive pairing had played 19 games total all year long before tonight. But this was a game where we're going to learn something. And, you know, what you learned isn't that encouraging, I think, if you're Mike Babcock or members of the team. And, you know, now the question is, how do you go about ensuring it doesn't happen again? Because the playoffs really aren't that far away.
Yeah, and, you know, we do want to talk more. And, you know, Jake Gardner out, and then that same night, Travis Dermott out. And those are pretty significant injuries as far as storylines go. But to go back, you know, it's funny, Chris. I think in some ways, I would never compare John Tavares to Jackie Robinson, nor would he. It's not even close. But when the lockout ended in 2005, I thought there'd be so many players leaving as UFAs. I really just did. I thought, wow, free agency after 7 years, the Leafs could get Sidney Crosby, Alexander Ovechkin, or, you know, you name it, you name it. And on a day when Bryce Harper signed for a, you know, big contract leaving the Washington Nationals, but it's so accepted in baseball. And in basketball, you know, guys like LeBron James can just basically organize teams that where they're going to go to in the offseason. I think in some ways, and I think he's reluctant to have done it, but John Tavares has become the poster guy about elite players leaving and how maybe you have to do it a little bit different. That like Artemi Panarin and Sergei Bobrovsky, for example, and Matt Duchene, you got to give an indication before.
I guess, but you know, I don't hold it against him myself. I mean, I think it's totally fair of the fans to vent their frustration. I can understand, honestly. I've been a fan in other sports. I get where the anger comes from. It's fair. This guy played for them. He, you know, repeatedly said he loved Long Island, and then he left and went home and posted a picture and said it's a childhood dream. So I can see where that comes into it from a fan standpoint, but, you know, the player doesn't actually owe any more than what he does. I mean, John Tavares played on under market contract here for his last 6 years as a member of the New York Islanders. He was a very good player. Often management didn't put a good enough team around him. They went through an ownership change. They had numerous building issues, you know, failed stops and starts. I mean, I can understand where he might be wondering about the future of the franchise. And, you know, it's funny the way it's turned out, because this has been such a great year for the Islanders. They seem to really have some structure. You know, I give them full credit for how they played this year without him. But, you know, I don't know that he did anything wrong, but you also have to live with your choices. We all do. And so, you know, seeing how intense this was, you know, I have to believe every single time he plays here, there'll be a degree of this. I mean, it probably won't be repeated at this level. You know, for example, Leafs are back here April 1st, not too long from now. But, you know, this is going to be his new normal here. And I think it's good for the sport, frankly. This is entertainment. And I was entertained tonight. And I'm sure most of the people that paid for a ticket here were as well. So, you know, if more guys move, I think it'll be good. I don't know that that's going to happen. It's still not really a hockey player's way. And there's a lot of risk in the sport. So, you know, most guys sign the extension as soon as they can, just because it's a guaranteed contract should they suffer a serious injury. But, you know, I don't think there's anything wrong with testing free agency, as we're going to see Panarin do, as we're going to see Bobrovsky do. I think Erik Karlsson is a good chance. He's going to test free agency this summer. You know, it's good when stars move around, and I think it creates interest in the sport.
I agree 100%. Now, where do we go from here? I mean, we play Saturday night. We got the Buffalo Sabres coming. Are they coming to town? Yes, they're coming here, I believe. And is anybody on defense healing up down in the American League? Does Martin Marentsen, the Magic Man, get another opportunity? Do you know anything about their details about how those guys in the American League are panning out?
No, Callie Rosen, from my understanding, isn't going to be ready until next week. So I would think Marentsen stays in. You know, like Babcock mentioned after the game, that Igor Rozganov will go back in. So, you know, might be a one and done for Justin Hall. But, you know, it's going to be a process here. I mean, they've said Travis Dermott's minimum 4 weeks. You know, as of now, Jake Gardner doesn't need surgery on his back, but there's still not clarity there. There's still not, I think it, you know, really depends on how he reacts to treatment and how the rest, you know, sits with him. So, you know, it's going to be a bit of a put together bottom pairing for the foreseeable future. And that's going to be something the team has to get around. And, you know, I think that this is going to be a bit of a confidence shaker. I mean, Zach Hyman was in the dressing room saying he's embarrassed, but they didn't show up tonight. You know, Patrick Marleau had some strong words. Mike Babcock had some strong words. I mean, this wasn't just any old loss. And I think the way they lost in a game where they wanted to do something for their teammate, well, this one's going to leave a mark. And the next week or so is going to be interesting to see how they respond to it.
Well, again, just to get in the minutia, because it's 182nd, one out of 82 regular season games, but and they had won three in a row before, but what especially concerned you tonight when you're looking at the Maple Leafs on a night, you know, it's a big game for the Boston Bruins at home and they beat the Tampa Bay Lightning. So, you know, like maybe there's somewhat similarities in this importance for the Toronto Maple Leafs. You don't want to lose 6-1, but this especially wasn't the kind of game they wanted to lose 6-1.
Well, what concerned me most, I'd say, is save for the first half of the game, they really only had one forward line going. You know, the Tavares, Marner, Hyman line made plays. You know, I thought Marner played well in the early part of the game, and you know, obviously basically created that second goal that was just a hair offside and that got sent back. But, you know, when you look at the other forward lines, the Matthews line, the Nylander line, they didn't have much going, and it was a big game. And so, you know, you don't want to read too much into one game because both guys, I think, have played well lately. But I didn't see enough from them. And then, you know, obviously, I think they panicked a bit. I mean, they made rush plays and turned the puck over a ton and just didn't put themselves in a position to win in a tough environment on the road, kind of like you'll face in the playoffs. So, you know, those are my main concerns. And, you know, I'm sure we'll be talking about this one moving forward.
Well, and I'm always a big proponent of the stats don't lie. And if you look at the stats tonight, Chris, 37 shots to 35, the Islanders. And then they double them up here, 39 hits to 22, pretty much double them up, 16 block shots to 7, and 56% in the circle to 44. So to me, at the end of the day, the Islanders just wanted this one more.
Yep, it was there. It's hard to deny, and this won't do much to quell people talk about the importance of physical play and whether the Leafs have enough there. So I'm sure it'll be a conversation you have to pick up, fellas, because I'm getting waved over to do a TV hit, but... we'll talk to you after Saturday's game and pick up the pieces from this one then, too.
Okay, we'll be watching. Get the hair right, the makeup. We'll be watching, Chris, okay?
The beard's always tight.
I got a face for newspapers. That's what my dad says. So.
Then go get him, Chris. Thanks very much, Chris Johnson. He'll be doing some hit here on Sportsnet as well, joining us, Sportsnet, sportsnet.ca, Hockey Night in Canada, Gord Stellick, Mark Savard, Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. 6-1 win for the New York Islanders over the Toronto Maple Leafs. We're doing the best to talk about the game, what we have to say. Let's hear what the head coach has to say, and we'll pick up from that. Mike Babcock after the 6-1 loss tonight.
The emotion of what they brought at you on a night where your club was playing a back-to-back.
Well, I don't worry about the back-to-back. I thought we started really well. I thought we were playing really well. And then, like you've seen us, we got impatient. And we turn the puck over, and you know, they base their offense on tracking back, having numbers at their line, and they're waiting for you to turn it over. And we didn't stay patient enough with their plan, and in the end, they capitalized. And then, I mean, the third period was nothing, but that really hurt us. I really believe this is a lesson we have to learn. That's what the regular season is for, is you got to learn these lessons. They got more of a veteran team than us. You can tell by the way they take care of the puck. And we turn it over too much and give up too many transition opportunities.
How much concern is there in seeing that in this type of game, though?
Well, I think it's, we shouldn't have turned the puck over. That's the bottom line. I thought, like I said, we started good, we played well, we had the puck, and then we got away from it. So it's a lesson we have to learn. We're fortunate that I think we've got 19 games left. You do this in the playoffs, you lose. You're done right away, period. And so, you know, you got these dress rehearsals. In the meantime, you got to get points to get in the playoffs.
How much are you going to be leaning on Marty and Justin the next little while with two guys out?
Well, you know, I don't know. We'll look at the game here, and then Ozzie Ganoff will go back in next game, and then we'll just go from there. We also have Rosen that's got a chance to get better, and we're going to figure it out because obviously these guys aren't coming back right away, and we need six good ones.
With Jake, is there any idea that you might be looking at possible surgery there or being investigated for that possibility? Or
At this time, it doesn't look like that. That's what the doctors have ruled out. But you know, I'm not a doctor. I don't know. You go day to day, and he's obviously got to make improvement. And then when he makes the improvement they're saying he's going to make, then there's going to be no surgery whatsoever.
Mike, how did you see the energy of the crowd affecting your team tonight?
Well, I thought the energy was spectacular in warm up and at the start of the game and the whole thing. I mean, you know, you must be a real special player and a real special person for them to honor you like that. Because they only boo you if you were important. For most of us, they wouldn't even know who we were. And so what an honor that is. And I thought our team handled that really good. I thought we played good. We started good. To me, the crowd had nothing to do with the outcome of the game. Our play with the puck through the neutral zone had everything to do with the outcome of the game. And in the end, it cost us.
What do you think of Sparks' game tonight?
Well, you know, I haven't looked at it totally. Any way you look at it, they got a lot, and we got a little.
What does it say about John that he handled it the way he did?
Well, I just think you knew how he was going to handle it anyway, but he's a proud guy, and we wanted to come here and win for John, and we didn't get that done here today.
Leaf head coach Mike Babcock, and, you know, kind of talking about the same theme, savvy, about when chatted with Chris Johnston. It's a dress rehearsal for a playoff game. So you want to get to the playoffs, and it's a dress rehearsal, but you're also saying, if you play this in the playoffs, you better book your vacation after week one.
We've talked about this many times, that they're able to outscore their problems. And when playoff time comes around, it ain't that easy, Gord. It ain't that easy, Vic. It ain't that easy, Sam. In the playoffs, you're going to have
anybody else here?
You're going to have to be ready against these Bruins, who just beat the Tampa Bay Lightning tonight 4-1 and stopped a 10-game winning streak. So I think Mike Babcock's bang on. This is a dress rehearsal, and they failed miserably.
Well, before we do the goals, let's hear from John Tavares, because obviously that was the focal point about so many things tonight and disappointing in so many ways. He actually had a decent game for the Toronto Maple Leafs, but who really has a decent game in a 6-1 loss? Here he is after the game.
The emotions that were going through your mind during that video tribute. They're saying, you know, we don't need you. They're booing you as you get that video tribute.
Well, I mean, they've always made it tough, tough on the opponent. You know, when I played here, they always made it tough on people coming in and playing here. So, obviously, the tribute was nice, especially from the organization and acknowledgement from the guys on the other bench. So, just nice to give token my appreciation for my 9 years here. Everyone that supported me, obviously the organization, and the guys on the bench.
Is it tough to find the legs physically, emotionally, on a night like this on a back-to-back, John?
Yeah, I mean, the circumstances obviously were what they were, but there's no excuses. Every team goes through the same thing through the course of the season. They just had their A game and we didn't, and we got to be better next time around. I may have seen that way. Obviously, we didn't have the best response after that, and you know, they're able to extend the lead and kind of really take momentum for the rest of the game. Well, obviously, I expected it was coming, so, you know, no one's walked in my shoes, so I know that, and I just tried to be open and honest, and obviously, no one has to like my decision, but I just tried to explain what it is and how I got to that point. So, you know, it is what it is. I made my decision, move forward. So I'm just kind of trying to go out there and play.
John, does this represent closure now? At this point, it's all move on?
I'm just trying to play hockey. So for everyone else, I can't speak for them. But for me, I made my decision. I move forward. So I'm just trying to go out there and play.
Did you take a second to look at the tribute video? And if so, did any pleasant memories come to your mind?
Yeah, so I watched the whole thing. It was really nice, the honors to acknowledge, and I really appreciated that. So obviously, some great moments, I think, mostly as a team. You know, when you have success as a group, there's nothing like it. And, you know, obviously, I was fortunate to have some good moments individually that helped contribute. So those were obviously nice nice to see and nice to be acknowledged, and just tried to show my appreciation of that. Yeah, I mean, obviously, it'd be nice to take a moment to recognize, but, you know, obviously, they have their feelings, and, you know, that's out of my control. So just tried to show my acknowledgement for the support I had for 9 years here.
This is another chance to see the Islanders, and how good is this team compared to the one you left now?
Well, I mean, at this point in the season where they are, there's no secret. They're having a great season, and a lot of credit goes to them. So obviously, we have to play better next time than we did today.
I feel like this matchup against you, they raise their game at all?
You have to ask them.
John, is Josh distracted by any of this tonight? I know it's probably a little harder than normal.
Yeah, I mean, it's not, I would say, the common thing I experience, but, you know, some of it is what I, you know, expected. I just tried to go out there and play, and it is what it is. Obviously, just we didn't have a great game.
See, when you ask a question like that, I think you deserve a stupid answer. When a guy says, is this distracting at all, John?
Yeah. No, I know. Totally. Totally. You know, like, I don't know what you found in playing the game, but one thing, you know, in my time, especially when I was general manager, I appreciated good questions, even if they are tough questions, because they give you a chance for a good answer. Questions that suck, just like, you know, you're you're pissed off, so you're almost gonna go like you got almost like check yourself kind of thing without saying a smart ass answer back to the guy.
You know what I used to do when I got a stupid question? I'd stare at the guy and just be like, I wouldn't answer it. I would just stare at him and be like, God, that's good. Stupid.
Like you're doing right now?
Yeah, I'm staring you down.
But
right
I didn't
now.
Give you a stupid question.
No, but I'm saying, like, why would you ask questions?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. But it's just that kind of thing. But if someone asks a good question, you can give a good answer. And that's what, and you know, and then you get some questions, you listen and go, seriously? Someone's asking that. So anyway, you know, good on John Tavares. Like, I mean, man, oh man, like he's the best thing the New York Islanders have had for a decade. And like, again, I'll draw it to the Vince Carter analogy maybe we had here in Toronto, and there was a healing process after a while and eventually came full throttle and he wanted to come back. And anyway, whatever.
Did you heal?
What, Vince Carter?
Yeah. Did you ever heal from it?
No, I'll tell you, it's funny on the NBA side. So first of all, Tracy McGrady was the first guy. And the best was, he left after 3 years, but the best was Charles. Charles Barkley always had the great answer, said, well, they should have signed him after two, right? But the first 2 years, 1 year was a lockout. He was the last year that you could leave after 3 years in the NBA, and they changed that. First year was a lockout, half a season. Second year, a guy named Daryl Walker, an incompetent coach, was here. He hardly played him. Third year, he's off the charts, and now it's too late to sign him. So I got it, right? And they put up signs. Like, I think we even gave him the radio, T-Mac, come back. Oh, you know, like, he's boy. Not coming. Okay. Vince, at the end, like, I felt like saying to Vince, did Dean Smith let you put 82 towels on your head when you went to the bench every time? That's the stuff that got me. Like, who's letting you do that? Like, you're a great. Anyway, then he got caught up, and that's ultimately his undoing.
Yeah.
Chris Bosch was the one that, and I, you know, and you look at Brian Colangelo. I guess he was too busy, like, applying for burner accounts. And he, you know, like, you got to read that the guy's going to go or not going to go. Anyway, that I digress. But no, but those are good comparables that way. Let's get to the goals. This would be a good test to see how Joe Bowen calls them. Okay, because Joe's pretty good. Joe's pretty good both ways in the world of broadcasters. This isn't fun if you're a Leaf fan. And we're kind of in a haze kind of remembering them all because the game kind of goes that way. But, hey, early on, it looked all good. In a 6-1 game, the team that got one scored first.
And it's knocked away by Robin Leonard. Round back of the net. Flipped in around back of the goal. Tavares intercepts. Tavares getting it back to the blue line. Long shot by Hainsey in front of the goal. Batted to the line. They score! Zach Hyman and Tavares may get an assist on this, but it's 1-0 Toronto, and go boo that.
See, we're all getting a little ahead of ourselves there. Zach Hyman from Marner and Hainsey at the 13:33 mark.
Oh, Johnny, and upset there, and old Hyman gets on the board early with his 14th of the year. He had another opportunity later where he scored, was disallowed, and it seemed to be the blow that ended this whole night. But again, I love it. Go boo that. There's not much more that needs to be said. 1-0 Leafs.
Yeah, Leafs got the lead. We're just going to kind of do general things here. Okay, so now the Islanders tie it up late in the first.
Now here is the Leafs with Tavares working back on the near boards. JT into the corner for Hyman. Hyman is too well covered. Tavares in there as well. A hit there by Muzzin, but here's a 2-on-1. Make it a 3-on-1 for the Islanders. Back in front, they score! Anthony Beauvillier ties the game at 1.
Okay, it's never good when you hear somebody say a 3-on-1, but that's the case here. Beauvillier is 15th from Bailey and Barzal.
Yeah, well played by the offensive team here. Good passing play. Instead of using the third guy, you come back to the guy. I love that play. And Beauvillier gets his 15th, and we had a 1-1 game. And it seemed like things weren't going that bad for a tough night in Long Island.
We had a game, and shots on goal, 13-10 in favor of the Maple Leafs after one period of play. But period number two, the captain, the new captain of the New York Islanders.
And now the Islanders have control and get it up on the right wing side, and Eberle will send it in over the line for Anders Lee, trying to go to the front of the net. They score! Brock Nelson sets it up, and the Islanders, Anders Lee, makes it a 2-1 Islander lead.
Anders Lee, 22nd from Nelson, and Eberle at 449.
Is Anders Lee the captain or Brock Nelson?
Anders Lee.
Are you positive?
Yes, I'm positive.
I thought so.
You know what? No, because anyway, I had him on a guest on my morning show, NHL Network Radio. He was the all-state quarterback in Minnesota. He was high school football phenom, so we've had him on a few times.
Well, he didn't need to throw this one in. He shot this one in, and it made it 2-1. But, yeah, I thought Anders Lee was a captain. I was just testing
him. No, I appreciate being tested.
He passed again.
Thank you. I know. Every day it's a test. I like that. Meanwhile, it looked like the Toronto Maple Leafs tied it up 2-2. Zach Hyman, though, and a video challenge by the Islanders was upheld. The goal was disallowed. So now from 2-2, now it looks good. They're down 2-1, but they got the power play, the Maple Leafs. And the killer of all killers, a shorthanded goal.
Cizikas against the wall, and Filppula will lose it, and the Leafs are going to get control of it again. 18 seconds in the penalty. Pass for Muzzin didn't work. And now Ennis has had his pocket picked. Here's Cizikas to the net. Scores!
There we go. Boy, local guy Casey Cizikas. This is his 18th of the year from Clutterbuck. And Tyler Ennis filling out a police report right now about his pocket being picked on the shorthanded goal.
Yes, he is. And the other thing is, on this play, it came just shortly after the disallowed goal, Gordy. So that happens, and then all of a sudden a shorthanded goal happens. If I was number 91 on the Leafs, I would have called a cab and got out of Long Island.
Yeah, it is tough to get a cab there, though, so probably he thought, I'll play the rest of the game until the cab arrives. Uber. Well, Uber nowadays, that's right. That has changed things. Well, 3-1, and then the late in the second period goal. Ugh.
Here is Ladd trying to get it in front of the net. The puck down scores! Filppula! A loose puck about 3 feet in front of the goal crease, and he gets it elevated, and it's 4-1.
Boy, I got to give Joe credit. He's still bringing it, even though he's disappointed after that Zach Hyman goal. When he's basically saying, kiss my whatever. Now it's now the New York Islanders have made it 4-1. Filppula from Ladd and Komarov.
Yeah, Ladd back in the lineup here tonight sets up Filppula, and he's able to Filppula it over.
Beautiful.
Sparks.
Like that. A little play on words. So. Ugh,
anyway, well, it's a 4-1 game at this point, and you know, it looked like at that point, Mike Babcock was rolling the fourth line all the time and getting their minutes up, giving them some ice time, giving Justin Hall a bit more of a look and Martin Marincin, and everything failed.
Well, 4-1, so you're saying early, okay, if you got any chance, they came back from 3-down against the Montreal Canadiens after one period of play, but you don't want to give up one early in the third. They gave up one early in the third.
Marincin taken to the boards and knocked down on the play. Took a high stick, he says. Back to the point it comes. Letty with a shot. Scores!
Yeah, Casey Cizikas, the local boy again, is second of the game, 19th of the year. Wow, that's a career high for him from Letty and Clutterbuck.
Yeah, Cizikas, like you said, 19th of the year, having a great season. That line re-energized with the return of Matt Martin, who also had 5 hits in this game. Him, Kyle Clutterbuck, and Cizikas are having a great season again. And like you said, is 19th, and it's 5-1.
Don't need to hear. We heard the Brock Nelson one coming in earlier, so this will leave it. What does it matter? Adding insult to injury. Brock Nelson is 20th from Eberle and Pulock, and that was it. The shots on goal, 37-35. There we go. That's it. Savvy was editorial comment. Oh, he missed it. You hit the light there. You didn't even come close to it. We were trying to throw your 37-35 in favor of the New York Islanders. More importantly, 6-1, the Islanders win over the Toronto Maple Leafs. Of course, next game, Saturday. It'll be in Buffalo, and of course, we'll be joining you right after the game on Leafs Nation postgame. See if the Leafs can bounce back and get a big win on Saturday once again against the Buffalo Sabres. Tonight, it was a 6-1 loss to the New York Islanders in the John Tavares not great return night. Cort Stelic, Mark Savard, you're listening to Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers right here on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Do not settle. Demand. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Blue and white at night. We own the night. This is Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
Yes, we're talking blue and white tonight, Leafs Nation postgame. Brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, Cort Stelic, Mark Savard on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. A 6-1 loss to the New York Islanders tonight, the Toronto Maple Leafs. back-to-back, three consecutive wins, actually. A big win last night over the Edmonton Oilers. Again, we've gone over, we've sliced and diced it.
Seems like they ran out of gas tonight, Gord.
Yeah, they did. They did. You know, you thought at first there was lots of gas out there, which we've seen at times and experienced at times, and then all of a sudden it just didn't happen. Well, I guess the gas was from the New York Islanders, where they got to go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5,
kind of a gas chamber.
Well, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 different Islanders got a point.
Wow.
That's a balanced attack in a 6-1. And of course, I appreciate everybody listening to me count on air, but 13 different. Matt Martin played 12 minutes, 53 seconds.
But the stats don't lie. You're correct in saying that those guys got points. But where I break it down here is the shots on goal, 37, 35. Okay. But the hit scored 39 for the Islanders to the Leafs 22. And I said this to you, why doesn't Justin Hall come in tonight? Perfect opportunity, or even a Martin Marentsen, two big boys, come in and bang some bodies, if yeah. anything, especially in a 6-1 game. Just run around, bang some bodies, make a name for yourself. So when playoffs roll around and things get ugly, Mike Babcock knows that you're down to play some serious hockey. And then you look at the block shots, 16 block shots from the Islanders, 7 from the Leafs. They didn't put their bodies on the line tonight, Gord.
No,
if you, ask
you know,
me.
Great point in the sense that you look at, Kasperi Kapanen or Andreas Johnsson, when they come up and all of a sudden make an impression the way they can play, right? And Travis Dermott, he came up, he's a puck-handling defenseman, made an impression what he could do. Other guys, you know, Connor Brown did it, great at it. He got the 20 goals in 1 year, but just hustles, does everything you want. Zach Hyman's the best example that he became the Mike Babcock favorite kind of player for how he works, how he digs, whatever. And you're right, these guys are getting a chance to play. And Justin Hall and Martin Marentsen, you should lead the team in hits or be up there, block shots, or particularly in Justin Hall's case, when there's it looks like there's a physical opportunity fight-wise, you should have taken it.
Yeah, you got to do something that leaves a mark and sends a message to not only your team but the staff that you're serious about being in the lineup every night. And I remember when I came up, Gord, and I can remember back to the Ranger days, I wasn't really contributing offensively in my first stint, so I had to do something. So I tried to be a guy that got under the other team's skin a bit, skated fast, and drew penalties. I was great for drawing penalties. Guys wanted to swap me, whatever. I drew a penalty, and our team was on the power play. So you got to do something that gives your team a better chance of winning a hockey game, or what is the reason for having you in there?
Yeah, you got to be, you know, it's funny, a point of difference, and I can remember, again, my era is a lot longer ago.
Just a lot longer.
But I mean, in talking to guys when they're going down the AHL, you know, like you would have respected me, you would have been surprised, but I said, Savvy, train ticket, get out of here. No.
But you were calling my show on Ringside,
yeah,
bud.
That's right. They're that's savvy. Right, in the AHL. But yeah. So as you can imagine, guys would get, they would start splitting hairs about why they felt they were better than the fourth line player. And I would say to them, you very well could be, you know, your argument's accurate, but we got to make a decision. This sort of decision, when you come up, be one of the top two lines or top three lines. So you're not even in the discussion. And I know it's a long time ago, but I used the example, Gary Lehman and Steve Thomas were two guys got sent down to our AHL team. Then was St. Catharines, but they just killed it there. So when they came back, they were no longer fourth. They were no longer in the debate. They were top two line guys, and they never stopped being that in the rest, basically the rest of their NHL careers. But that was the whole point. Like, don't like go down. And that's kind of what I like what Babcock said about Trevor Moore when he went back down a number of weeks ago. Just said, well, because the media was getting excited. He goes, whoa. He's going back to the Marlies, and he's going to play, and he's going to play a ton, and he's going to play so that when he comes up here, he's going to play, you know, and he's going to be here to stay and that kind of thing. And that's a little bit. So, you know, again, like I said, Marentsen, Hall, anybody else, you know, don't start doing the nickel and dime stuff that, well, I'm better than Ozaganov. Who gives a crap? You know, whatever. You know, 6-1, half dozen the other. Be like Travis Dermott and being a guy saying, here's how I can help the team.
Yes. And I think tonight, Justin Hall, who I like, but it's only his third game, and now he's another -2 tonight, really did himself a disservice by getting one hit tonight in an opportunity of a game that was out of control a bit score-wise. He could have ran around a couple of shifts and added to his hits. So the team knew that they have a guy that can do this. And we talk about it. And to your point, you know, and I can always remember Adam Graves telling me, and one of the best guys I play with in the game, telling me that, Savvy, you know, when you come up, because I got sent down, when you come up and I go down the American, like you said, and I tear it up offensively. I went down there And I don't know my stats right to a number, but I had around 75 points in 50.
But I seriously realized from back in my ringside days doing the AHL magazine show, you did tear it up. Yeah.
So I had like 75 points in 50 games, let's say, in the minors. And when I came up the second time around, Adam Graves took me aside and he said, Savvy, he said, when you come up here, why do you dump the puck in every time? Why do you? And I just, well, you know, I want to stay here. And he looked at me and he said, well, if you want to stay here, you got brought in here because of what you did before you got here. So why don't you go out and try and make plays and try and do what you do so you can continue to stay here by being an offensive guy? And it really sat with me that, yeah, why am I trying to draw penalties and trying to hit and trying to dump pucks in? That's not what I am. So do what I did best. And then I finally figured it out my second time around. I came into the training camp, had a good training camp, but John Muckler was coaching, and anyways, that's another story for another day. But he sent me down at the beginning of the year, and I went down, and in I think 8 games, I had 13 points. I was leading the American League in scoring, and the Rangers started horrible, and they called me up, and that was the end of it. And my first game was at Maple Leaf Gardens, and I had 4 helpers in my first game back up, and I tried to make plays, and it worked out well, and I ended up I think with 60 some points that year. But the thing about my story is, you got to do what you do best, and you got to do it with every opportunity you have, because there's not going to be many opportunities, as Justin Hall is figuring out. I mean, he's played 3 games this year, and he's going to have to bring more to the table, like a Martin Morenson. They're going to have to bring more to the table. These guys are, and with injury comes opportunity. We've talked about it, and there's not a better time right now. You got 2 defensemen, 2 key defensemen that are going to be out for a long period of time here, and this is an open job. This is an open invitation to be around when the playoffs come around. If you can outplay, you know, anybody in this lineup, you're going to have an opportunity.
Yeah, it's about having a point of difference, right?
Yes.
A point of difference. And it's even like, say, people trying to break into this business. And I'll say to them, like, they'll go, I want to be Ron McLean, or I want to be Don Cherry. I want to be whomever. Pick it. And the point being is, hey, you know what? Figure out a point of difference. Kill on the social media stuff. Kill on the online stuff. You're good at it with, taping twigs. I mean, that kind of stuff.
Like, kill
on that stuff. Kill on that stuff. You know, because that's where you get a chance to make a point of difference that older guys aren't as savvy, pardon the pun, about. And and that's exactly it. And the same applies when you're playing professional sports as well. Have a point of difference about being the guy that works hard, that's physical, that, you know, whatever it may be. So anyway, a 6-1 loss to the New York Islanders tonight. We'll take a quick look at the out-of-town scoreboard. I'll give the scores, and then you can weigh in with what you see. Not as busy a night as I thought it was going to be on a Thursday. Usually Thursdays are a bit busier. Boy, this would be a big win. Nice win for Arizona. They've not won it yet. They're up 4-1 after 2 periods of play to Vancouver. Florida and Vegas tied 1-1 in the first. No score, Dallas and Kings in the first. Finals, the big win for the Columbus Blue Jackets, 4-3 in overtime over the Philadelphia Flyers. You talked about the Boston Bruins. That's a big win against Tampa Bay Lightning, 4-1. And the Edmonton Oilers, man, talk about hapless. The Ottawa Senators, 4-2 over the, I don't know if Ottawa will win another game this season, to be honest with you, 4-2 over the Ottawa Senators. But the Boston-Tampa Bay game, we were watching it closely. It's the Boston Bruins were 10-0-4 in their last 14 games. They had not lost in their last 14 games. They had lost ground to the Tampa Bay Lightning. That's how absurd a kind of season the Tampa Bay Lightning are having. They had lost ground to them. But tonight, they come up big with a 4-1. And it looks like a really balanced team performance in the win over the Tampa Bay Lightning.
It does. The Bruins came to play tonight, but they got a lot of their goals late, obviously, and that makes the score look a little bit more lopsided than what the game probably was.
Yeah, it was 1-0 till about 9 minutes left, huh? Yeah,
exactly. So it made a little different, but Columbus gets a big win too, Gord, 4-3 in overtime. That's a huge win for them, getting them back in a playoff picture. I'm looking here, Arizona with a natural hat trick from Richardson. They said he's been just a charm this year for the team, but he gets a hat trick tonight.
With Brad Richardson.
Brad Richardson, yeah. And then Florida, who I thought Hoffman would help somebody out, he has 2 tonight in this game, and still Stone yet to get on the board for the Vegas Knights. But at the end of the day, Arizona has a good opportunity here with a win in this game to get back in the thick of things here. Dallas It has a big game in LA tonight, so it'll come down to that game to see if they can move back into a playoff picture. But again, back to the Tampa Bay Lightning, Gord, 10 straight wins again, looking for their 11th tonight. And I think this is one of the seasons, Gord, where a head coach that has a great hockey team deserves maybe coach of the year honors, because this record is flawless. And he's not just opening the door. I mean, he's got great hockey players in front of him, but I mean, you got to have a game plan. You got to be able to stick to it. And they've been doing that consistently.
Yeah. Accolades to John Cooper. No doubt about that, for sure. Head coach of the Tampa Bay Lightning. So Columbus, I guess that'll get them back. I mean, this playoff picture right now, Montreal, Carolina, Pittsburgh, Columbus, other teams are kind of around there, but those are the, right now, those are four teams. Only three will get in. One will be really disappointed if it goes the way it is right now. So Columbus, all those moves they made, but it's interesting. It's Seth Jones that gets the goal in overtime, the game winner, 33 seconds left. And one of my favorites, man, Scott Harrington, he just bounced around like a guy that was a stellar performer for the Canadian World Junior team and never can get it going at the NHL level. But he gets his second goal of the season, so that was a big game for him. Duchesne got an assist on it. Actually, Ryan DeZingle got an assist as well, but that is a big 4-3 win in overtime for the Columbus Blue Jackets over the Philadelphia Flyers.
Yes, you know, that was a huge win, especially a team that made all these moves at the deadline. Yarmo Kekalainen picks up all these players, and they're almost on the outskirts looking in, and then they get this win tonight, and they're back in. They're going to need to go on a good run. And I heard their schedule, Gord. They've got Calgary three more times, and they got Boston three times. The Columbus Blue Jackets do. I heard that on, I think it was your show this morning, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But you weren't there, so couldn't have been you. But anyway, that they have a tough
maybe
schedule
called
ahead.
Called me, yeah.
Yeah.
And North Toronto's leading the Knights 2-1 right now.
After are they?
Two periods of play, minor midget.
How's Solonik Kaffir doing?
Solonik Kaffir, I don't know if it's still in existence, but of course the memorable hat trick I scored. And we went in one day and got Chris Ballas's girlfriend's got her bangs cut for free, and I got a pop.
Yes.
Way back when, yeah. Yes. House League hockey, way back when against Scott's Chicken Villa. So when we come back, we will, of course, coming up, we'll hear from lots going on tonight. And we're talking in big picture because the game was the game was the game. It was a 6-1 ugly loss to the New York Islanders tonight for the Toronto Maple Leafs. A wonderful day for New York Islander fans who have enjoyed a wonderful season but have been waiting for this game in many ways with vitriol and venom, and got to unhurl all that tonight against John Tavares. And we'll hear from many of the players. Chris Johnson will also join us from the island. They hear all Joe Bowen's calls.
They only play twice this year?
They play in another month. They play April, like first, whatever it may be.
I thought they played.
That'll be kind of an anti, maybe it won't be anticlimactic, but maybe. Right now, with the way both these teams are going, it's never anticlimactic, but you're in the playoffs. You're not playing for a playoff spot. So anyway, tonight is over and done with. 6-1, the New York Islanders defeat the Toronto Maple Leafs. You're listening to Leafs Nation Postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Gord Stellick, Mark Savard on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Breaking down what's up.
What's up?
This is Leafs Nation Postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
Yes, not a lot of what's up tonight, or was up, for the Toronto Maple Leaf fans. A 6-1 loss to the New York Islanders tonight as we welcome you to back to Leafs Nation postgame. Brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, Gord Stellick, Mark Savard on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and the return of John Tavares. We've discussed it quite a bit. We'll discuss it more with Chris Johnston, who is in Long Island at Nassau County Coliseum, and can give us a firsthand account how things went. It was loud. It was negative. He got booed mercilessly when he was on the ice during a video tribute. Again, it's hard to say what percentage is booing, because booing, if you boo and you're loud, and New York fans are loud, it drowns out anything else. And he got a video tribute, and then did a very brief skate on the ice, and it sounded like certainly a chorus of boos that way, but certainly I would think a little bit mixed at that point, some cheers for him. You know, the Nassau County Coliseum, part of the problem is why they were looking to move too, is 13,917. And that is a sellout tonight, but that's like 5,000 short of, say, Scotiabank Arena or other venues out there. So that was one of the problems that way. First, in Brooklyn, they weren't getting those fans, so there's no worry. But back at Nassau County Coliseum, if they get the building rocking again, you need some more attendance that way to be a little bit bigger market team as far as it goes for the New York Islanders. So that's the big picture there about the John Tavares return. And much like when the Islanders came to Toronto and it was a big win for them here, hey, maybe we keep focusing on John Tavares, but maybe give credit to Lou Lamoriello. It's kind of not that he relishes it, but pretty impressive what he's done in a very short period of time with the New York Islanders, something he did in a big way with the Toronto Maple Leafs as well. It took him a little bit longer, but something he did that way. So good on Lou Lamoriello, now the general manager of the New York Islanders. So getting back to the small picture of the game tonight from the big picture of the John Tavares return, Zach Hyman scored the only Leaf goal of the game. It looked like he had scored twice. As a matter of fact, Leafs were still in the game. It was midway through the second period, and it was a good video challenge by Barry Trotz and the New York Islanders. Hyman was a little bit offside on the play, so he ends up with one goal instead of two. He had two shots on net, played 15 minutes and 8 seconds of ice time. And here is Zach Hyman after tonight's 6-1 loss.
Zach, you get the start you wanted. How did things maybe go back the other way beyond that here as the Islanders gain momentum?
We turned the puck over way too many times, and you know, they play the right way every shift, and when you turn the puck over, you don't have a chance against them. So that was the second half of our game.
Did you watch the replay on the offside?
Nope.
What do you think of that rule in general?
I don't know. It happens for both teams. So.
What do you think of the atmosphere here tonight and everything that was going on in the crowd?
Yeah, they're obviously a passionate fan base. Rather playing a game like that than, you know, in a game that's quiet. So. You know, it's good. It's good for us. It's a good learning experience. This is what playoff hockey is like. It's loud. You know, fans are in your face. It's passionate. It's exciting. So, you know, we were embarrassed tonight, but we'll learn from it.
How do you think John handled it?
I think John was good. I think that, you know, I feel bad that we didn't show up. You know, we didn't play. We wanted to win this game for him, and we didn't even give ourselves a chance with all, you know, all the turnovers and the nonsense that we had, you know, and everybody was included in that. I think, you know, everybody was at fault. So just a really frustrating game, something that we need to learn from, and better to learn now than in a month from now.
Do you feel like Zach, affected your team?
No, I mean, I like it when it's like that. You feel like you're more engaged. It's like when you go to Montreal and Montreal is loud and all over you, you know, as a player, you like that. You want to be in an atmosphere like that. It's exciting, and yeah.
What does a lesson need to be from that, Zach, when you're saying you're going to learn from it as a team?
That you can't outskill your way in games. You can't turn the puck over. You can't outscore. I mean, it doesn't matter if we scored 3 or 4 or 5 goals in that game. We turned the puck over so many times that there was odd man rushes and you leave Sparksy out to dry. And I don't know how many goals were on odd man rushes or turnovers, but it's probably the majority of them. And then, you know, when we play the right way, we have a chance, and just, you know, we'll learn from it.
What'd you make of Justin Hall's effort after sitting out for so long?
Good. He was physical. You know, he wasn't afraid. He was engaged. I think he was skating, but you know, when the score is like that, it's tough, but no, I thought he, you know, for not playing in a while, I thought that he did well.
Yeah, there we go. And he's talking about guys like Justin Hall, Martin Marincin, and of course that was Zach Hyman. And for the Toronto Maple Leafs, I mean, what's most disconcerting, never mind the John Tavares return, tough night tonight as well, but announced yesterday, Jake Gardner out week to week. Whatever you think about Jake Gardner, losing him is a blow to the Toronto Maple Leafs defense corps. And then Travis Dermott last night, just, you know, and that's the thing, when these games are out of hand, and it wasn't a dirty shot, but a bit of a nudge, he fell awkwardly in the boards. He will be out at least 4 weeks with a separated shoulder. So very quickly, and on a game where they don't have any rest, and when the Islanders are rested, the Maple Leafs aren't. The Islanders obviously a lot to play for in John Tavares' return, which the Leafs also had to play for in John Tavares' return. But he only gets his third game of the season. Justin Hall, the modern-day Frankie Corrado from a couple of years ago, that type of training. He was -2, 17 minutes, 37 seconds of ice time. At least he's back playing. With the injuries, it looks like guys like him and Ozaganov and Marincin will be playing a whole lot more for the next little while. And here is Justin Hall after the 6-1 loss.
What's it like to get back after 27 games in an atmosphere as hostile as this was tonight, Justin?
Yeah, it was a fantastic atmosphere. It was a lot of fun to be in there. Obviously not the result we wanted, but it felt good to get back in the lineup. And I'm hoping I can build off that. I think just timing, not playing games. You still get your skills going in practice, but it's just tough when it comes to games and some of the fine plays and some of the small plays. So, it's definitely an adjustment period getting back in, but, that's also my job is to be a professional and step in when I'm called upon.
How disappointing is it that Toronto couldn't do this, get this one for John?
Yeah, we were obviously, we really wanted it for John, and he's a huge part of our team and a great guy, so... this is one that we really wanted, and it's disappointing, but at the same time, it's one game in a season of 82, so it's just time to bounce back, and we'll be better next game.
Have you ever experienced anything like that?
I have not. Warm-ups was great. We were loving it. We thought it was hilarious. it was a fun atmosphere.
Look, could you said something to John then? Were you joking with him in the
warm-up? Yeah, I was joking with him. I was like, at least they forgot.
Could you hear the chants, the different chants that were going on? Could you make them out?
Kind of. It was more just white noise, but it was very loud.
You're conscious that you and Marty may have to do a lot of cramming the next little while, all of a sudden going, as you say, from not playing on this team to, a big role?
Yeah, definitely. It would it'd be great to get a stretch of games together here, and, I'd be looking forward to that, but we'll see what happens, and just take one day at a time.
Well, I think you will get a stretch of games anyway. As we said, Justin Hall and just... yeah, tough kind of environment for that all to be thrown at them. Martin Marinson was recalled, and they couldn't get his sticks to the airport on time. Paul Hendrick of Leafs Nation had to bring them this morning for him. So they'll get the chance to breathe a little bit, and then the Buffalo Sabres they have on Saturday and get back at it. Last night, tonight's Direct Energy Home Services hardest working Leaf player of the game was Garrett Sparks. So that shows a lot, because Garrett Sparks is a guy that gets a lot of scrutiny about things, and the Maple Leafs were outshot 37-35. Even though he gave up 6 goals, Savvy decided he was the hardest-working player of the game. Last night it was Patrick Marleau, and before the Toronto Maple Leafs just took off and flew and beat the Edmonton Oilers rather handily, it was a close game, and the Oilers actually had a bit of the edge, and it was Patrick Marleau that was providing the spark for them last night. He couldn't do the spark tonight. I don't think anybody really could. He was -2. 2 shots on net. Nobody was a plus, by the way, in case you're wondering. Being a even would be the best thing for the Maple Leafs tonight. Actually, John Tavares was an even, so if there's one small victory for him, that would be it. But here, after the 6-1 loss, is Patrick Marleau.
Patty, you've shared in an episode of Going Home. It wasn't quite the same reception you got in San Jose that John got here tonight. What were your feelings as you were able to sit in and just take part in all of that?
It was they were very passionate fans. I think there's a lot of energy in the building, so we tried to get off to a good start and use that. We made too many mistakes and they took advantage of it.
Do you feel bad for John having to go through that tonight?
I think he played here 9 years. I think obviously he made an impression on the fan base. It's one way of looking at it. I think if they didn't care, then they probably wouldn't do anything. So I think, knowing John and knowing all the hard work and effort he puts in and day out, you can't really take that away from him.
How do you feel he's handled all the hoopla?
I think he did good. As best as he can. I think obviously would have liked a better outcome for him, but best he could do in some tough circumstances. I think he played hard.
Patrick, how much concerns are the team fell so flat in the game that obviously had some big stakes?
I think it's a lesson for us that we need to learn is when you turn the puck over and make mistakes, other teams are going to capitalize. So we got to play smart, not necessarily too safe, but when the opportunity is there to make a play, we got to make it, but we also got to be willing to put the puck in and get our forecheck going and not turn the puck over at their blue line or at our red line and feed their transition. So if we learn that from this game, we'll be better for it.
Where do the challenges exist in terms of taking the Leafs' skill set and matching the physicality you saw tonight, maybe finding a blend of both in terms of getting a win?
I think it goes with turning the puck over. If we get the puck in deep, then we can use our big bodies and our speed and be physical. And but when you, you know, turn the puck over, it's you're on your heels. You're playing defense a lot of the time, and it's hard to, you know, to get that physicality.
Patrick Marleau, always the measured words that way as far as it goes. Yeah, it just was one of those games. Really, nobody standing out. Kind of a disappointing game that we, you know, mentioned in a quick look, re-up on the out-of-town scores, because the Edmonton Oilers beat the Ottawa Senators. Everybody beats the Ottawa Senators, but I mean more about bouncing back from last night's tough loss. Meanwhile, the Florida Panthers have taken a 3-1 lead over the Vegas Golden Knights in the second period. It was tied 1-1. They get two quick goals. Arizona now 4-2 lead over Vancouver. That's in the third period of play. Los Angeles Kings now lead Dallas 2-1 in the first. Boy, Matt Zuccarello getting injured. That's a tough one. The Dallas Stars make a nice trade, and he gets injured. The big one, Seth Jones scoring in overtime. It's a 4-3 overtime win. Huge one for the Columbus Blue Jackets over the Philadelphia Flyers. And the Boston Bruins, they've been red hot, but the Tampa Bay Lightning have been red hotter, and the red hot team defeated the red hotter team. The Boston Bruins, a 4-1 win over Tampa Bay. And I did mention, let's see what Connor McDavid did. What's Ottawa? What does it matter? Edmonton, 4-2 win over the Ottawa Senators. He got a goal. Connor McDavid got a goal in. Sam Gagner got a goal. Yeah, just not a very good team, the Ottawa Senators. So anyway, that is the out-of-town scoreboard for tonight. And as mentioned, next week, the Leafs go on a Western Canadian jaunt. They'll be back for a game against the Buffalo Sabres. So back to relatively quick games against the Buffalo Sabres, whom they defeated on Monday. So it was a three-game winning streak for the Toronto Maple Leafs, which stopped the three-game losing streak. So they stopped the bleeding, so to speak. They go to the island tonight, the much-anticipated, much-vaunted game. If you're a New York Islander, anti John Tavares fan, you loved it tonight. It was perfect. It was a 6-1 win for the New York Islanders over the Toronto Maple Leafs. You're listening to Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Gord Stellick, Mark Savard on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.